Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Because today is the first day that monthly child tax credit payments will arrive from the Internal Revenue Service.
I believe this is actually a historic day. Historic day in the sense as we continue to build an economy that respects and recognizes the dignity working-class families and middle-class families.
President Biden there a little earlier today announcing the beginning of the payments. Now, the IRS estimates it'll get payments out to some 88% of children in the U.S., but the Boston Globe estimates the IRS could miss up to 60,000 children here in the Commonwealth. And Mayor Janey's office says some 5,000 of those children are in Boston. So let's talk about this, about the impact of what the checks will be, the impact of those potentially left out. Let's turn to Dr. Megan Sandel, a pediatrician at Boston Medical Center, also co-director of the GROW Clinic there and principal investigator at Children's Health Watch, and Vicky Negus, policy advocate at the Massachusetts Law Reform Institute. Dr. Sandel, welcome.
Thank you so much, Tiziana, for having me.
And Vicky Negus, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so I want to start nice and basic. Dr. Sandel, this is money that comes back to a family for the costs associated with having kids. It's a credit that's been around for a long time, but now it's bigger and half of it is being prepaid due to the pandemic. Is that right?
Exactly. I think this is the first time where you're seeing monthly installments given to people in order to have a consistent amount of payment. And I think the other piece is that it's grown. And so the magnitude of this is enormous. We're talking about a million children in Massachusetts, 650,000 families getting $250 to $300 per month to help defray the cost of raising children.
Okay, now, Vicky, Dr. Sandel just said $250 to $300. There is a range. So give us a quick rundown of the numbers, please. Who gets what based on income, roughly?
Yeah, a great question. So for families who have children under the age of six, each of those children will receive $300 per child, and for families who per month per child, and for families who have children between the ages of 6 and 17, that amount goes down a bit to $250 per eligible child. And those will be monthly payments until the IRS moves to a lump sum payment in 2022.
And, you know, are those big numbers? I mean, Vicky, bring it home for us. $250, $300 a month. What does that mean for a family?
Yeah, so it can sound like a small amount, but for our lowest income families and for families who are really struggling to make ends meet on a monthly basis, it's really critical. I know Dr. Sandel mentioned this, but it is a game changer when we look at poverty in the United States. The child tax credit experts estimate that if all families who are eligible connect with these dollars, that child poverty rates will be cut in half in 2021. So this is a really big deal. I talked with a mom, a client of mine yesterday, and she did not know these payments were coming in her direction. And she told me, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but this is really gonna help me make sure that my teenagers can get through the month with more of what they need. So it's a really big deal for a lot of families.
So Dr. Sandel, one of the concepts that's starting to come mainstream is this idea of the social determinants of health. And really this tax credit plays into being healthy through these other social determinants. Can you explain that for us a little bit and kind of connect the dots between, all right, this money comes in and what do people spend it on that affects health, other than obviously healthcare?
Yeah, it's really interesting, some of the research that's been done in this space, both with the child tax credit and also the earned income tax credit that people often get when they file their taxes. And what we now know is that even small increments of dollars, like an extra $1,000 in your tax return, we have seen research that shows that you have a 8 to 10% reduction in premature births and low birth weight babies. And so as I sometimes will say, if that was a medication, it would be on every pharmacy in the country. It's just really where money is medicine in terms of being able to help you be able to purchase healthier food options, to be able to get you into maybe a safer housing or prevent an eviction, or being able to get you into higher quality health childcare. Those are all really crucial parts of how we are seeing this play out.
So, Vicky, the IRS is sort of the center of distribution for these payments. And we have been hearing for days that while that makes sense in some ways, the most low income among us probably don't pay taxes or may not, and therefore may be out of the loop on these payments. One, is that right? Two, how big of a deal is that locally? And three, what are we doing about it?
Yeah, an excellent question. And I think one of the most critical things for families to know at this point. So the IRS has estimated that about nearing 60,000 Massachusetts kids, as the Globe reported, are at risk of being missed in Massachusetts, being missed from these payments, unless their families are able to connect with the IRS through essentially tax paperwork. And the reasons that families don't typically file tax returns are varied. Low or no income families are often not required to file a tax return. And then certain families who may be immigrant families or have mixed status in their families are afraid of coming to the IRS and connecting with the government to receive these dollars. So because of the sheer need to connect low-income families with the child tax credit, we've worked together with Children's Health Watch and with other organizations to stand up findyourfunds.org, which is a statewide website in plain language, in multiple languages, that aims to connect these 60,000 kids with the dollars that their families so critically need. So that is one of the things that we're doing to try to make sure that everybody who's eligible is connected.
So that's findyourfunds.org, and we'll also link to that on our website, radioboston.org. Dr. Sandel, we need to address the criticism. So let me give you three pieces that get leveled here. One, this is a huge government expansion. Two, it's not affordable. And C, that it focuses more on this give a person a fish philosophy than teach a person to fish. I want to take those kind of one at a time. This is a big expansion. Assistant Speaker Catherine Clark told us she'd like to see things like this permanent. Have you done any economic impact analysis about what we get instead? Is this affordable? Are there hidden affordabilities rather than hidden costs to doing this?
Yeah, I think that when we only talk about costs when we don't talk about enough about benefits. So first and foremost, this is a form of economic stimulus. The research suggests over and over again that when you give particularly low-income families these types of tax credits, they spend them. So just to give you a sense, that's $250 million that's going to come to Massachusetts in the next year and be spent in our economy. So it is not just like it goes into a black hole. It actually is a stimulative effect to our economy itself. I think the second that becomes really important is just the scale of what we're talking about. We're talking about 86% of kids having a benefit that has been documented that's going to improve their health. So, for instance, I think what our research at Children's Health Watch has shown is that when kids are food insecure, are housing unstable, families are having to choose between paying for medication or paying for utilities, that has a health benefit or health detriment that can be lifelong. It can result in not doing as well in school and other things. I think one of the things that I hear from my families, honestly, is that now they can afford childcare and get back into the workforce. And so I think this kind of worry that this is somehow not helping people and not and making them potentially stay home is actually the exact opposite of what my experience is.
And are there other policies, Vicky, that need to be in place? Let me backtrack. So the last one was the give a fish versus teach to fish. What about the argument that helping people earn more is a better approach to getting these results than giving families money?
You know, and I think just to piggyback on earlier comments, I think that the question around what is the best way for us to make sure that all of our families can live not in poverty and with opportunities for all children in the United States. And I think the question to really ask is how do we make sure that this child tax credit expansion is made permanent? Because we know that, and the pandemic shed light on this, but we know that there has been an economic crisis in this country for families for a very long time. And we know that those inequities and those challenges that low-income families face across the country, especially communities and families of color, we know that that has existed and been exacerbated by the pandemic. So I think that the question is, there's definitely not one answer. There's a variety of solutions that we need to have in place, you know, a living wage, broader opportunities for broader groups of people. But I think that ensuring this tax credit is made permanent is really one of the biggest and best things we can do to cut down on rates of poverty across the country and certainly in Massachusetts.
So, Dr. Sandel, as we're having this conversation, you know, I've been reading that if you don't currently file for taxes, we just talked about that, then you can file for this. Maybe you don't want to get the prepayment of your tax credit, then you can contact the IRS and do that. Taxes are hard. The IRS is hard. Most families are busy, stretched, working multiple jobs. This is hard. How can we make it easier?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something that I know it may sound strange, but now every family that I see as a doctor, I'm asking them, did you file your taxes in the last 3 years? If not, did you go to the non-filer portal, a way in which you can register? Did you get your stimulus payments? And those may sound like weird questions, right, to ask as a doctor. And yet it's just emphasizing how important we think this money is. I think that the good news is there are great resources. Again, findyourfunds.org or childtaxcredit.gov are all important resources. But I think the point that Vicki made is really essential. We know there are 58,000 kids in Massachusetts where their families didn't file in the last 3 years. And so we know just having a website's not going to be sufficient. And so I think there are some really great programs. I want to give a shout out to Dr. Lucy Marcel, who started a program at Boston Medical Center called Street Cred, where we are still doing tax filing. So even though the regular tax filing deadline is passed, you can still file your taxes and make sure that you're getting this payment. And so I do think we're going to have to see, and I think the American Rescue Plan had this, some assistance for people because it is hard. And we want to make sure that things like pediatric offices, we're trusted members of a lot of times our families, that we can say, this is where you need to get this assistance, because we want to make sure everybody who's eligible gets it.
All right. That is Dr. Megan Sandel, a pediatrician at Boston Medical Center, co-director of the GROW Clinic there and principal investigator at Children's Health Watch. Also, Vicki Negus, policy advocate at the Massachusetts Law Reform Institute. Really appreciate it. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.